God. We're so glad that you're here. And if you're visiting with us, and we always have visitors among us, and we're always gratified by those who choose to come and share their time with us on Sunday and whenever the doors of the church building open for worship. And we're glad that you're here. And I hope and trust that all of us will know very confidently when the roll is called up yonder that we will be there. And that we'll hear our Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, now come into the joy of thy Lord." And we'll forever be praising and adoring him. You know, so many, many times in our life, instead of praising God, instead of praising one another, and acknowledging the good things that are going on in life, most of us spend time complaining. I want to talk to you this morning about sins of the tongue. You know, there are so many times in our life when we open our mouth when it ought to be closed. There are times when we say things that we ought not to say. We get mad with one another, and sometimes we whisper into the ears of each other things that we ought not to be saying. And in reality, we just need to zip up our lips. There are times when we need to close our mouth. And there are many loud mouths in our world, many of them. Maybe you know someone who looks like that. Don't look at your wife or your husband. But you may have known of people in life sometimes who just spent their whole life complaining and murmuring about things that were going on in life. Someone said that it is America's favorite pastime. Just to murmur and complain about something. People complain about everything. They complain about food sometimes. You won't be doing that, however, because we have some great cooks in this church. And if you'll hang around for a few minutes after service, you'll find that to be true. A lot of people, you know, and I try not to complain about food. I hold a lot of gospel meetings every year, and some of the brethren are here from places where I have been in recent days, and I'm so glad you're here this morning. And I've had the opportunity to go into a lot of homes and share a meal with a lot of folks. And I try not to complain, even if I don't like that food. I just go ahead and eat it. My parents taught me to do that a number of years ago, and mind your manners. Well, I was in a home not long ago in one of those meetings, and believe it or not, when I walked through the door, the front door, I noticed that this family had one of those pet pigs. you know what I'm talking about? I think they're Vietnam pigs. I'm not sure. But anyway, they're kind of pot-bellied pigs, and they just kind of run around, you know, all through the house. I mean, I was surprised. You know, we had pigs, but we had them out behind the house. And but anyway, they had this pig running around in the house. And so anyway, it came time for us to eat. And we went to the dining room table, and we were sitting there, and we were indulging in all of that good food. And I noticed that pig kept coming up to me, you know, and just kind of snorting and sticking his nose to my knee. And I thought, well, that's a really unusual. And I didn't know what to say. You know, I mean, he's getting slobber all over me and everything. And if you know me, you know I don't like slobber. But anyway, you know, he was just doing all kinds of things. And anyway, I didn't know what to say, but I looked at the lady and I said, "You know, you really have a friendly pig." And she said, that's really something. She said, "Oh, well, that's really nothing." Said, "He just friendly because you eating out of his bowl." Well, anyway, I... so I have been very, very careful about where I eat and what I do. But I still try not to complain too much about what goes on in life. Now, you know, many of us, however, are great complainers. We complain about the weather. If it's too hot, we complain. If it's too cold, we complain. People do that here in the auditorium. You know, people fan, people put on more coats because we got it too cold in here. One thing I have learned in life, it is hard to please folks. Did you know that? It is. I mean, you know, the singing can either be too fast or too slow or too high or too low. Now, this morning it was great, Sam. You did a great job, masterful job. Amen? Yeah, he did. But people through the ages have had a tendency to complain about things in their life. And sometimes they're mundane, sometimes they're trivial, sometimes they're insignificant. But people go through life complaining about a lot of things. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 through 12, the Bible lists a number of sins that categorize the people to whom Paul was addressing. Now, you will remember that the church at Corinth was going through all kinds of problems. They were divided about a lot of particular issues. They were divided over immorality. They were divided over sin in general. And the Bible tells us, first of all, in verse 6, that they lusted after evil things. They didn't lust after the good things. They didn't covet the earnest things, the good things, but they lusted after evil things in the world. And they actually, because of that lust, in verse 7, they became idolaters, the Bible says. And they even committed fornication, down in verse 8. And they tempted Christ, down in verse 9. But I want you to notice specifically what happens in verse 10 and what Paul has to say about them. He says that they complained. If there is ever a lesson in the Word of God for us today, it is this one. Do not complain. Watch what you say. Watch your lips. The word murmur is an interesting word. We talk about people today. We don't generally use the word murmur. We don't go out and say, boy, they were murmuring a lot. But generally, we say they were complaining a lot. But the word murmur actually means it is a mumbled or a muttered complaint, according to Webster. And that's what it really is. It is a complaint. It means to complain. It means to claim or express pain or displeasure. Sometimes people do that. To find fault. How long has it been since you actually found fault with someone? If the truth were known, maybe you found fault with someone this morning before you left your house or your edifice. It means to declare some kind of annoyance that is going on in your life or around you. It means to actually make an accusation against someone or to even bring a formal charge, according to Webster. The Greek word, and that really doesn't mean a whole lot, I just thought I'd throw this in, it is the word ganguzo, which actually means to grumble, not only murmur or complain, but to grumble. You ever been around people just grumbled all the time? I mean, you know, they were just upset. Nothing you could ever do would ever please them. Well, according to W.E. Vine and his expository dictionary of words in the New Testament, that's what he really defines complaining or murmuring to be. I would tell you that not only is it a bad thing, but complaining is a sin. Now, you may not believe that, but if you were to go to the Bible, you would find it to be true, that it is a sin to complain. And that's the reason that all of us ought to take heed to what the Bible says about this most vital subject. We need to be people that do not complain. Sometimes we just need to put tape across our mouth to keep us from saying things that we ought not to say. Button your lips. We need to be careful. We really do. You see, because there is power in your words. In the book of James, he says that in the tongue there is the power of life and death. He said sometimes we speak good words, but sometimes we speak evil words. And you remember it was Christ who said, for every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so watch your words. Watch your words. Those who complained against God and got angry with his servants in the Old and even in the New Testament suffered the wrath of Almighty God. Christians are told, the Bible says, to learn from their example, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6 and following. Complaining is a sin because down in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says to do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, he says, the children of God. The children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Do not grumble one against another. Brethren, lest you be condemned. For behold, the judge is at the door. James 5 and verse 9. Think before you speak. You know, sometimes we just speak off cuff. And we just let the words flow from our lips without ever really thinking about what we're saying. And I've even heard people audaciously and boldly say, well, I don't care what people think about me. I'm going to speak my mind. You ever heard people act like that and say that? Well, that's a very dangerous thing. It's dangerous because you cannot recall your words. And the words that often you speak in haste, you will end up eating one of these days. You will. The Bible says to be hospitable one to another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. Do you know, I have learned also, and I've been around a lot of folks in my lifetime, and I have learned that complainers will do just about anything. They will. In the book of Jude, that little book in the New Testament, the Bible said these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. They lie. They're kind of like Pinocchio. You know, their nose grows way out there. And every time they tell a story, sometimes they embellish it to make it bigger. And they do many, many times. People will lie when they think it is to their advantage to do so. But complainers will do that. Well, what's wrong with complaining? That's a real issue this morning, isn't it? I would tell you that there is a place for legitimate complaints. In the book of Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, there was a complaint being brought against some. For the Grecian widows were being neglected. And they brought that charge to the apostles. They were concerned about what was going on. Now, I can't picture these people complaining about it was too dark in the building, or that it was too light in the building, or that it was too hot in the building, or that it was too cold in the building, and they didn't complain about the food, but they complained about legitimate things. Sometimes if a person doesn't like another person, they just complain about that person, and they will even put their foot on the scale to make the weight, perhaps, of their problem seem much, much heavier and much, much greater. There's a time for legitimate complaints, and we know that to be true. But we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are not to complain about one another, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And we are to walk in love one toward another. You know, the world would be tremendously different if we walked in love. Let me ask you this morning, are you walking in love? Are you really walking in love? Or are you walking in hatred? Are you walking in animosity? Are you walking complaining to everybody you know? If you are, shut your mouth. I don't know how to say that any nicer. That didn't come out too good, did it? Would you please be quiet? Well, I can tell you God says that. He does. Complaining is a terrible, terrible thing. You cannot walk in love and complain at the same time. Well, what's wrong with complaining? Complaining against God is a sin against God. Did you know people not only complain about one another, but they complain against God? They do. They bring complaints against God. God, why'd you do this? Oh, God, why don't you do this? Oh, God, when are you going to do this? Oh, God, are you going to do this? We complain against God. Do you know when you complain about the weather, do you know in reality you're complaining against God because He's the one that controls it? Complaining denies God and His sovereignty and makes us His judge. Romans 9, verse 20 and 21. And it denies God's care and His provision over us. Mark 4 and verse 38. When you complain, God gives us, the Bible says, life and all things. He is the author of life, Acts chapter 17. And the Bible says that in Him we live and we move and we have our very being. Acts 17, verse 25, James chapter 1 and verse 17 says that all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, who gives to all men in whom there is no variableness or changing at all. His commandments, the commandments of God, are not burdensome. That's what John said in 1 John 5:3. He said his commandments are not grievous. But let me tell you why complaining is wrong. Just 4 points very quickly and we'll get to it. Do you know that complaining takes the place of prayer? Have you prayed today? Have you prayed today? Jesus in Luke 18:1 said that men ought always pray and faint not. And when we complain, what we do is that we allow complaining to take the place of our prayer before the throne of God. We ought to be people that cease complaining and start praying to God and start praising Him, as I said in the beginning and the genesis of the lesson today. We need to be praising God, honoring Him, declaring Him to be holy. That's why we're here. Sometimes people walk through the doors of a church building and they immediately begin to complain. They do. Complaining is a sin. But secondly, we ought to count our blessings and not complain. Have you ever thought about how blessed you are? You are a blessed woman. You are a blessed man. You are. You are able-bodied. You're able to be here this morning, and there are many this morning that are in nursing homes who choose, would love to be here. There are many who are ill, who are on beds of affliction that cannot move about, but you have the presence of mind and body that allows you to be here, and for that you ought to praise God and start counting your blessings. We sing that old hymn, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." You know, many of us sing that, but many of us have never done it. I think it would be great for someone to take a pen and a ledger and really start writing down their blessings. And when you weigh that against the problems that you have in your life and the complaints that you have, you would find that the blessings of God far outweigh the problems that have come into your life. But thirdly, we need to learn to be content and to smile. Someone said no one needs a smile any more than those who feel that they have none left to give. And you know what? I have run into a lot of folk like that in life. I may have told you a number of years ago, I had a radio program in Marshall, Texas, and had the opportunity to be involved with a lot of radio stations in East Texas area. At the time, there was a station out of Shreveport. Used to carry the Louisiana Hayride. It was called HeyWKH. Many of you may remember that station. And anyway, the DJ would come on in the morning with this little statement. He says, "Smile and make the world wonder what you've been up to." You know, I've often thought it would be great if we could give the world a smile. They always played that song every morning, "Give the world a smile." And we ought to give the world a smile. And we ought to learn contentment and to be content. Sometimes we complain so much. Count your blessings. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want," he says, "for I have learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to complain, no, therewith to be content." That's what he says. "And I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." You may be suffering need, but that's no reason to complain. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." What's wrong with complaining? Last of all, and number four, is that complaining does not advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Do you know the Bible says when they murmured against Jesus, He murmured not against them and threatened not. Jesus was not a murmurer. Even when they spat upon Him, even when they placed that crown of thorns upon His head and blood ran down His red cheeks, and when they nailed His hands to the cross and His feet, Jesus murmured not, but to the contrary, He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Murmuring does not advance the cause of Christ. As a matter of fact, it does great harm to the cause of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but it's true of me. I don't like to be around complainers. I don't like to have people come and complain to me. I don't like that. It bothers me. Because I know it's a sin. And I know it's against God. You know what we need to do? The way to quit complaining is to get busy. If you were busy doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have time to complain. You wouldn't. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all of your might. What we need to do is get busy. We need to know our place and shut our face. I can tell you that's true. Because there are more serious issues at hand. Do you know that as the world turns, many are lost? They are. And if you want to complain against someone, you start lodging your complaints against the devil and his demonic spirits. And it was to that end that Jesus Christ gave what we call the Great Commission. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? Only Christ can change a complainer into a Christian. It's true. He's the only one that can do it. And so the next time you feel you have the proclivity to complain about something in life, zip your lips. Try to see the best in most things. And you will find that you will become a changed person. I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, that you'd quit complaining about the world and all the problems that are going on in the world and become a child of God and get in the battle with us. Now, if you're not a Christian, Jesus said that you can become one. And the plan of God is so simple. It is. And Jesus gave it, did he not? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the command of God. It is. And it's a command that every one of us can follow. You are able-bodied this morning. You could be baptized for the remission of your sin. But sometimes people complain and people wait. Last week I was in a meeting near Gilmer, Texas, and there was a couple who came up to us after the service was over. And they began to tell us that they'd been watching the Give Me the Bible telecast for a number of years, and they said they just didn't really feel quite right about their life. We studied with them for about an hour after the service was over. And instead of taking that step that really puts them into Christ, they took a step that led them away from God. And they said, we're going to wait for a convenient time. They were much like Felix in the New Testament, who told Paul that when there is a convenient time, I will send for thee. And I hope and I pray, God, that that time will come for them. I don't know that it will. They may yet continue to complain about the world and never really be able to do anything at all about it. I know one thing that changes the world is prayer. And like I said this morning, that you cannot complain and expect your prayers to be heard of God. We need to be focused on God and changing the world through prayer. Pray about it. Now this morning, if you're not a Christian, the appeal of God is for you to become one. The appeal of the Lord Jesus Christ is that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11, verse 28. And the promise is still true. Don't go through life complaining. Let me tell you something. Let God bring joy into your heart and in your life. Many of you have missed it. You have. David missed it one time. And he went back to God in Psalms 51, and he says, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Now notice this. And then will I teach the transgressor of thy way. You can't go into all the world and preach the gospel until you get right with God, until the joy of God fills your heart once again. This morning, I hope you'll allow it to happen. And if you're not a Christian, come and make the confession of faith that Christ has asked all of us to make, repenting of your sin, and by being lowered in water, baptized for the remission of your sin, being raised to experience the joy of the Lord. And if you've lost it as a Christian, why not come back? Listen, God receives sinners who go astray for lost sheep, and he's looking for you this morning. And we sing to that end while we stand. Will you stand and let us sing? Jesus.